It may seem in 2018 that politics is too ridiculous to bother satirising, but 20 years ago that wasn't the case, or 30 years ago probably. The McGillicuddy Serious Party added some much-needed humour to the political process between, I think I have these years right, 1984 to 1999. And the party's best policies have now been collated into a 328-page manifesto, which will be released this weekend. One-time party president and publisher of the edition, Mark Servian, joins us now. Hi, Mark.
Kia ora, Jesse.
Well done.
Wow.
How exciting.
It's been a while, man.
It has.
Yeah.
Now, did you play Tybalt in the Summer Shakespeare? Yeah. Well, it's like a Summer Shakespeare reunion. We had Mark Houlihan on the show on Thursday. Very good. Hey, nice to chat to you. You're always such an important part of the scene in Hamilton and Waikato University culture. And for people who are too young for it, how do you explain what the McGillicuddy Serious Party was?
It can be a challenge. Well, there was a time when a bunch of people had enough time to throw ourselves full scale into taking the piss out of the political establishment. I guess we were lucky enough to be a bunch of young people who could, young people these days, most young people through all the time have been alienated from the political process to some degree. We found a way to get involved. And so we just, we amused ourselves mostly, certainly the motivating feature. But there haven't been a lot of satirical political parties exactly like the McGillicuddies. People sometimes talk about the Monster Raving Loony Party, but they're a bit more Dadaist than us. We actually had mythology and historical references and stuff, and we're not really like the civilian or white man behind the desk, because there was lots of us. We had 60-odd candidates at a couple of elections. So, yeah, it was an actual party with actual candidates, and we ran in lots of places, and we went to meetings, and we dressed in silly costumes, and we talked about bringing Bonnie Prince Jeffy to the throne of New Zealand and used that as a vehicle for all kinds of tomfoolery.
Yeah, some great gags, as I recall. We might get to those in a moment. What were the big names? Who were the big names involved in the movement, apart from yourself, of course?
Oh, big names. Graham Cairns is the party leader. He's the lad McGillicuddy. He's still the leader of the clan McGillicuddy. Katie Julian was pretty important. She was deputy leader through the middle of it all, and was, one along with myself, I guess, the one who went around the country making things happen. Some of our famous candidates, Tanya Smeaton was the bitch goddess of Hamilton East, and we had very impressive down in Christchurch, and there was a whole bunch of people doing a whole bunch of it. Steve Richards in Tasman once got 10% of the vote.
Wow.
In the mayoralty, and Greg Piddams came second in the Tauranga by-election, which
That's
was
amazing.
Our fault apparently. In terms of the fact the election happened at all, there's a whole bunch. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people there scattered all over the country. It came in waves. There was it was always strong in Hamilton. At different times, there were different groups in different parts of the country joining in.
And which would you say was your most successful election?
It's a kind of a toss up between 93 and 96. 93 was the one where we really took off as a phenomena, I would say, because I mean we just had that situation with the by-election when Winston Peters ran, and then we, after failing on the first attempt in 1990, and we'd managed to qualify for broadcast funding, and so suddenly we were getting taxpayers' money, and so that really upset a lot of people.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the bitch goddess's eunuchs got arrested during some street theatre, and then we crucified Santa Claus in the Christmas parade. So things got a bit out of hand during that election campaign, really. A lot of babies were born after that as well, actually.
Sorry, what was that?
A lot of babies were born. I mean, we had such a huge party, there was babies born all over the place as a result of that election campaign.
Really, yeah. I remember that time you got funding for the TV broadcast. It's quite incredible, really.
Yeah, and we put it to good use, I think. Lisa Ray Hanna, who I think did the Venice Biennale recently for New Zealand, she produced our election video. And you still see it on the New Zealand Film Archive website, and they often trot it out. It's a piece of stop-motion animation showing the Great Leap backwards. It really is a beautiful piece of art. And we actually did it in 93. They say it's 96, but it's because we actually used it the following three elections.
So the Great Leap backwards, that leads us nicely into these manifestos which you're republishing. How do they read sort of 20, 30 years on?
Oh, they're okay. I think the ideas behind them are still working. They're obviously of their time. Some of the stuff we're responding to has passed. You know, the first one has the 1987 one has the post-nuclear land company where we're offering to literally be a sanctuary during a nuclear war. And so, you know, that reflects a sort of Cold War that was going on at the time. But there's nothing that I wouldn't, you know, nothing I look at now and don't think is still quite amusing and still works as humour. And you know, nothing makes me wince.
Can you tell us about a few of the ideas you had?
Well, the first thing to say is that the way you described it before, I mean, the manifesto was just one part of what we were doing. It was part of trying to be a grown-up political party was you had a manifesto. So we made the manifesto, and it talked about funnism, and it was a vehicle for the Great Leap backwards and the whole Prince Jeffy Jacobism thing. And it was a really good little Chairman Mao's little red book to put into people's hands, which meant that people could come in, get given some instructions and sent off to be candidates somewhere. But at the same time, it was really only one strand of what we were doing. Well, those of us who did it for a while, there started to be other political campaigns with their own mythologies and their own policies. I mean, if you go to Wikipedia, for instance, there's a whole lot of policies I remember some of our candidates coming up with on the fly. There's other stuff I'm sure people made up since. But the manifesto as a thing was intended to have a certain degree of internal consistency, and so it explains the idea of deindustrializing society and going back to the Middle Ages and establishing ourselves as tribes again and abandoning the nuclear family, and sort of it's a kind of a pastoral kind of dream of what we could achieve if we all just relaxed and just took things less seriously.
I feel like Gary McCormick might have. He wasn't fun. What was he? He was the pull yourself together party, wasn't he?
He was doing stuff. Yeah, he was doing stuff about the same time. And that's the thing to realise is that there was a whole lot of satire going on. It's curious because you know in America now you have the John Oliver's and the Stephen Colbert and and that layer of humour is a major part of the commentary. I mean, there was us, there was Gary doing the Pull Yourself Together party. I think he had another one before that. There was the Blokes Liberation Front. You know, Chris Brady is still out there. The Wizard was doing things. We absorbed some parties into our operation, and that was kind of the thing. We wanted to be bigger and more full-on than the rest of them, so we had a manifesto, we had lots of candidates, and we got properly organised. But then, one by bit, they put the cost of running for election up a little bit. And I think, you know, after a while, the days of people going to university and mucking around or being on the dole and mucking around just stretched. And as we got older and the recruits dried up. And generally speaking, the whole practice of satirical politics, which used to be really prevalent in New Zealand, just dried up. The work to fun ratio tipped.
Do you remember a conversation where you said let's not do it this election, or did it just not sort of happen?
Oh no, we wound the party up quite intentionally. It had hit a trajectory because MMP had come along, and we'd had to do a whole lot of work to get registered. And as I say, the work involved in having a party list meant things sort of were beginning to wind down. In 99, there was a call made to that was going to be the last election. So we made out that we'd been a millennial cult waiting for the return of Prince Jeffy on the millennium, as that was what we've always been saying. And then when we didn't win the election just before the millennium, Graham was slapped in the stocks and publicly humiliated in Garden Place in Hamilton and apologised for lying to people for years, and the party was officially blown up and ended. That was it. We definitely tied a bow and finished it off.
Any other policies you want to share with us?
We haven't even gone to policies, have you? Look, I mean, some of the stuff in the manifesto, I mean, some of the ideas we have resurfaced. You know, our defence policy was to wipe New Zealand off all maps. And, you know, that's actually come to the surface recently, that's actually going on. We've been advocating it for years as one option.
Yeah, that's good.
There was a general push to medievalise New Zealand. You know, early on we talked about filling in Cook Strait and building a wall. Later on, we replaced that as part of our canal system by building an aqueduct across Cook Strait, that sort of stuff. Other individual candidates came up with all kinds of crazy ideas. I mean, I read somewhere the other day someone was remembering that apparently we were in favour of carpeting all roads so that they didn't make as much noise. I don't remember ever saying that, but that, you know,
yeah,
that's the sort of thing. And the bitch goddess of Hamilton East was a wonderful example of another candidate. She was going to sort the male population into breeding stock and lifting stock, and we were all going to get mutilated for our troubles. But she did it in the nicest possible way.
Someone has just messaged me, Mark, I think you might quite enjoy this one. Rod says, he's in Waikanae, he says, what I liked about your party was that you were silly before getting into office, but you would have been good once in power, which is basically the opposite to the others.
Yeah, well, that would have been nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, look, I mean, we hacked away at it for years. As I say, life caught up with some of us. And I think that just the environment for what we were doing changed. It became more difficult. It would be really difficult to do what we were doing then now. At least, I mean, you can certainly do satire, but to have a mass party with dozens and dozens of candidates would be a bit of a thing.
Okay. What is the plan for the launch this weekend?
Right, so this weekend we're launching at the Meteor, having the Big Muffin Cirrus Band, which is our ukulele band, Graham Kansas Band, playing. That will be there from 11 to 1. We'll launch the book. We'll have a few speeches and a bit of dressing up and some really nice canapes and a bit of a book signing, that sort of thing. And then we're going to be selling it online at thebestlittlebookstore.co.nz.
Great. What are you doing with yourself these days, Mark?
Oh, all manner of things. Still got a finger in the whole riffraff and Embassy Park thing going on in the middle of Hamilton. That's been my doing over the recent years.
What's that one?
You know, the riffraff statue.
Yeah.
That was my doing. So, and I've just been, I've been working on redeveloping the park around it for the last 3 or 4 years in Embassy Park in a rethemed space. That's an interest. That actually keeps me a little bit busy.
Yeah, cool.
And as a sideline, and, you know, there's still bits and pieces going on. We do the odd McGillicuddy thing. I'm helping some friends managing their shows and that sort of thing.
Good one. Hey, nice to chat to you. Thank you very much for your time today.
It's a pleasure. Lovely to hear from you again, Jesse.
Yeah, you too. Mark Servian, who is publisher of a new edition, collecting and collating 328 pages of McGillicuddy's Serious Party manifestos from those elections in the 80s and the 90s.